Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is the Freeman Report with James Freeman on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Hello. It is Tuesday, the 9th of May, 2023, and a very warm welcome to the Freeman Report with me, James Freeman. Now, I often say that today's show will be covering an important topic, and I do cover many important topics on the Freeman Report, but today's topic gets to the core of the show and what it's about, and also the core of what TNT Radio stands for. What we do at TNT Radio is to speak about all of the topics that are important to you and your way of life. We aim to do this by giving you the unfiltered truth. Free speech is therefore at the very core of everything we do at TNT Radio. Now, as you all know, if you listen to the show regularly, I always bang on about the fact that TNT is not regulated by Ofcom, which means we can discuss the things in a way that other stations get sanctioned for, and amen to that. However, TNT is a global radio station, and the fact that Ofcom does not regulate us only applies to the UK. And I'm all too aware that the EU and other countries have plans to try and limit free speech platforms like TNT Radio. Because together, we provide the metaphorical town square where ideas can be freely debated and attacks to our way of life can be discussed. And the global elite hate this because it means we can spread the truth and organise pushback against their tyranny. Last October, Irish Justice Minister Helen McEntee said that a new criminal justice bill entitled Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offences was being crafted following extensive public consultation and research. So, it seems that the Irish government is at the forefront of this push to curtail free speech. And despite their public consultation being overwhelmingly against the proposed new bill, 73% of respondents were against the changes to the law. But despite this, Irish politicians have voted it through regardless. Ireland has opted in to the measures pushed by the European Commission to ban hate speech. Helen McEntee said hate speech undermines the foundations of democratic and inclusive society and the common values enshrined in the EU treaties. Extending the EU crimes list is the first step in addressing this. Now, interestingly, Ireland is also the European headquarters for all of the big social media and tech firms. Is this a coincidence? I doubt it very much, because as we know, they want to curtail free speech, and it seems like Ireland is the perfect country to kick things off. Now, I know a lot of regular people, probably not listening to the show, will say, what is wrong with banning hate speech? And I guess at face value, this comment seems to make sense. But, and this is a huge but, who gets to define what hate speech is? Is saying that woman over there with a penis is in fact a bloke, is that hate speech? Even if it's done in a calm and unthreatening way? Some people believe that simply stating that there are two biological sexes and that we should protect women's spaces and sport is hate speech. The police in the UK have turned up to people's doors for saying such things. When local communities object to thousands of immigrants being thrust onto their community with no consideration for local services or cultural integration, is that hate speech? Do you see where all of this is going now? Freedom of expression, in my opinion, is much more important than people's hurty feelings. I'm offended with what most politicians say, but they're entitled to their opinion like me. Now, the stupid thing is, all Western countries already have laws against incitement to violence, harassment, intimidation, and discrimination. So why do we need new hate speech laws? Because it seems regulating speech like this is a common feature of totalitarian states like China and North Korea. So today's show is important to everything we're trying to do at TNT Radio. This gets to the very core of our values and principles. It is vital that we push back together against these moves before we do indeed resemble countries like China, where if you say the wrong thing, a van turns up in the middle of the night and you're carted off for doing nothing more than expressing an opinion that the government doesn't like. I'm therefore delighted that John Waters will be joining the Freeman Report in a moment to discuss all of the issues around this topic. Now, if you want to get in touch, please email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. That's jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you follow me on social media, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on TikTok. I will be announcing this afternoon who the former head of state is that will be on the show this Friday. So if you follow me on social media, keep a lookout this afternoon. And also, make sure you don't miss out on a thing. Download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store to listen to TNT Radio live, anywhere, anytime. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report on TNT Radio.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy Tuesday, Darren. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, James. I hope you're well too. Yeah, it's in lockstep, James. These online safety bills, these hate speech bills that we're out there, see them in America. We see that in Ireland, which you're going to discuss today, and I'm going to bring up in a minute, the UK, across Europe, Australia, everywhere at the same time. We should be deeply concerned about this level of control on what we can and can't say that they're bringing in across the planet.
Yeah, now the way they're doing this is very, very similar to the way they're bringing in vaccine passports, because the way they're going to be bringing in is other countries are going to discriminate against our country. So France will say, you can't come here if you don't have one. And all of our governments will say, well, it wasn't us, Gov. You know, it's not us doing it. It's that country over there. Well, this is actually a similar thing, because if Ireland brings this in, TNT is a global radio station. You know, and what they want to do is they want to make it very difficult. They want to clip our wings, even though we're not even based in Ireland, because we broadcast there. That is the game that they're playing. The EU want to bring this this across all EU countries and basically curtail even free speech in other countries which don't have these laws. Because, of course, you know, what are we going to do? Not broadcast to 500 million people in Europe. That's the plan.
Yeah. And it's the, you know, you keep saying, oh, when the TNT is not regulated by Ofcom, which it isn't, which is great. But in the online safety bill, online platforms like us, regardless of where we're broadcasting from, if it's being broadcast within the UK, then there is the potential that Ofcom may well get oversight of companies, businesses, media platforms like TNT Radio. So what's in the Irish bill that's recently being pushed through? The Criminal Justice Incitement to Violence and Hatred and Hate Offences Bill 2022. God, it sounds like it's something that we need. All that hatred and hate that's embedded in the title. It seeks to amend the law relating to the prohibition, incitement to violence or hatred against a person or group of persons in account of certain characteristics referred to as protective characteristics, which we have in the UK, similar ones here, of the person or the group of persons, to provide an debt offence of condoning, denying, or grossly trivialising genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace. It aims at combating certain forms of expression of racism and xenophobia by means of criminal law. The bill classifies race, skin colour, nationality, religion, national or ethnic origin, descent, gender, sex characteristics, sexual orientation, and disability as the protected characteristics. Gender gets special mention in this article. Is the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender? Now, say that really, really, really quickly, maybe three or four times over and over and over. You'll make a good little tongue twister. Preferred gender of which the person identifies and includes transgender and a gender other than those of male and female, which don't exist. The bill empowers Irish authorities to convict people criminally for alleged hate crimes. According to the bill, a person can be deemed guilty of an offence if the individual, and I'll finish after this bit, James, communicates material to the public or a section of the public, or behaves in a public place in a manner that is likely to incite violence or hatred against a person or a group of persons on account of their protected characteristics or any of those characteristics. And the key word there, behaves in a place, in a public place, in a manner that is likely, likely. What does that real mean? Very ambiguous term. It's Elon Musk, probably because it's in Ireland, we're home of one of Twitter's European center, massive, he called it a massive attack on freedom of speech. We could go a bit further and say that the Irish government have not voted against human rights. They have voted against human rights and quite literally for thought crime legislation. This is the direction of travel. These hate speech bills, these freedom of speech bills that are being put in place all across the planet are traveling in. It's traveling in a direction where we're getting this attack on what we are thinking, a bit like that woman who was praying outside an abortion clinic silently and got arrested. These are acts of thought crime. And if you want to understand how bad that can go, then just read 1984.
Yeah, I am very, very worried about all this. And like I said in my introduction, we've already got laws against, you know, incitement to violence and all of this. We really don't need to protect people's hurty feelings. It's a bit ridiculous, really. You know, when you look back in history, a lot of the breakthroughs that have led us to the freedoms that we have now have been done by challenging the existing narrative. I mean, God, the suffragettes, I mean, how dare they stand up and speak for women's rights? I mean, that's just a crime, you know. You might laugh at that, but this is where we're going, folks. So yeah, very, very worrying indeed. Now, I'm looking at the live chat here, and James asks if I'm having Bill Clinton on the show. No, James, not Bill Clinton. Although I would welcome him on the show because I'd like to ask him why he.
How many times did you fly to the island, mate? How many times did you go to the island,
exactly.
Bill? Go on, do it live on TNT, mate. How young were they?
Yeah, so James, if you know Bill, give me a shout out and tell him he's welcome on the show anytime. No, it's not Bill Clinton, and I will be announcing who it is this afternoon on social media. Right, Darren, thank you very much. We'll hear from you again tomorrow with another big story of the day. Thank you very much. Right, don't go anywhere because we're going to be talking about the whole purpose of TNT, which is free speech and getting you the unfiltered truth. It's under attack, guys, and it's coming from Ireland at the moment, but also the EU. And my next guest is going to tell us all about it. Of course, I'm talking about John Waters. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
So without Tucker leading in on the 8 o'clock time slot, doesn't look so good for old neuro-linguistic programming technique using constantly interrupting his guests, constant repetition to drive home points. Hannity. Hannity lost me 6 years ago, but he's lost millions. He's lost over a million people since Tucker left. Is this a good business move for Fox? I don't think they look at it as a business move, right? Because that's not how they're getting their money. They're getting their money from advertisers, right? So getting rid of Tucker appeased the advertisers. But the real problem is going to be when the fee contracts are up with the carriers. Because Fox's number one source of income, the number one source of income for CNN, MSLSD, any cable channel actually, is the money it gets from cable providers. And if you can't deliver the audience, the cable providers have diminished incentive to compensate you accordingly. So Fox is going to take it in the shorts.
The Timothy Shea Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
This is the Freeman Report with your host, James Freeman, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, as I said in the introduction, I cover many topics on the show here, but they are all contingent on free speech, because I am very, very keen to push the boundaries and find out what is really going on. And that often leads us to challenging the existing narrative. So I'm absolutely delighted that John Waters is joining me today to talk about a new bill in Ireland and potentially the EU, which is going to challenge free speech. Hello, John.
Hello, James. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. This is obviously an incredibly important topic, because every other topic that we talk about is contingent on this one thing, which is obviously free speech. John, before we get into the detail, I wonder if you wouldn't mind just giving me a little bit of detail about your background, what you do, and you know, how you're involved in this whole debate.
I was a journalist for 30 odd years. I was there with the Irish Times for 24 of those, and in the mainstream, and in, you know, was on TV and radio all the time, and so on. I've written 10 books. I broke away from the mainstream about 8 years ago, finally, because I realized that it had become completely corrupted. And I've since then, I've been, you know, doing my own thing. I'm on Substack at the moment, johnwaters.substack.com. Really, I've been involved in, since the spring of 2020, I became aware that what was happening was a complete scam and a hoax, and that there was something deeply malevolent about the whole thing. And with a colleague of mine, Gemma O'Doherty, another former journalist, I guess you could say, although she still writes or still is a journalist in a certain sense, I think we both would like a new word to describe what we do. So we went to the courts in Ireland seeking to have the lockdown declared unconstitutional. Of course, we were given the runaround for nearly 3 years. It just came to a head last summer. So that's really, I've been involved in talking about this. I'm trying to elucidate, and for my own satisfaction, for my own, to try to find out what's going on and figure out how these things all connect together. Because I've been convinced for a very long time that all these things that we're talking about here, this legislation, the lockdown, Ukraine, the climate hoax, and so on, all these, the woke agenda, all these things are connected, and they're part of a new form of, I would say, totalitarianism. I think essentially what I've been saying in recent times is that we have reached a kind of a moment in history which is really the most dramatic for perhaps 2,500 years. It's since the first democratic experiments were launched in ancient Greece. We're now at the end of that cycle, and that the invisible people who control the world are determined that we will return to some kind of neo-feudal slavery under digital surveillance, and will live a very bare subsistence life if we do at all, if we're allowed to live at all.
Yeah, so you are several steps ahead of the likes of me. I mean, I got involved really in free speech thing over COVID, because obviously people were being tried to close down, scientists were being cancelled. But it sounds like you've been looking at this area for quite a long time now. Now, John, we already have laws in place, don't we? I mean, I can't, on the radio here, tell people to go out and hurt another person or incite people to cause damage to public property and all these sort of things. I can't harass somebody. Do we need these new laws or you know?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, we have an act, an Incitement to Hatred Act from 1989, which there has been no occasion for because the level of, you know, I mean, the present climate of political stupidity and malevolence is seeking all the time to stir up this notion that there is some kind of neo-Nazi, far-right, you know, white supremacist element in Ireland. There isn't any such thing and never has been, any more than there is and has been in lots of other countries that the political leaderships have been instructed and coached in asserting. So we've had this bill here since 1989. There's been a handful of prosecutions under it. And this now is adduced as evidence that we need another one. When in fact the obvious inference from the fact that it hasn't been used was it didn't need to be and we didn't hardly need it at all. But now we need, it seems, an enhanced version of the same thing, radically enhanced, in fact, I would say, as we can go on to explore, because it's really quite shocking. I mean, this is a form of tyranny and censorship and silencing that would do, you know, would bring a blush to the face of Kim Jong-un. It is that bad. But these guys have no shame now. It is extraordinary, James. I mean, it's extraordinary in all our countries, isn't it? That people that we look to, for, and however we might have agreed or disagreed at a low level in political terms with them, we at least assume that they were Democrats, that they were, if not liberals, but very often claiming to be liberals. And now they are quite easy and cool about being fascists, while all the time pointing the finger away from themselves and declaring anybody who disagrees with them to be a fascist.
Now, for anybody who doesn't really follow politics, and there seems to be an awful lot of the general public which should be following things in a bit more detail, but quite often they just see the headline, they don't really scratch the surface or ask the questions, deeper questions. How has this bill come about? What are the origins of it? And you know, is it being discussed in Irish society? Where's this come from?
Well, it comes from, as I say, the climate. You see, like if you go back, the last 3 years has really been the culmination in Ireland and I think elsewhere, but each country has its own unique circumstances. But all of these measures and all of these developments are tailored to suit the situation in each country. And in Ireland, you know, we had a pretty homogenous population until 20 years ago. And when the borders of the European Union opened up in 2004, we got an influx initially from Eastern Europe, which we had signed up to. And nobody was, although the numbers were far greater than we were told would happen, you know, there was a general degree of acceptance of it. But gradually it came to pass that, you know, many more people appeared to be coming in who didn't seem to be from Europe at all. And we're just simply using Europe as a stepping stone and coming here under all kinds of pretexts, whether it's seeking refugee status or asylum and so on. And, you know, people really for a long time thought, okay, well, that's perhaps, you know, part of it. Maybe they're Europeans. Maybe we don't understand exactly, but they didn't really pay attention. And now it's only in the last few years. And this seemed to particularly become, you know, accelerated in the period of the COVID thing, where it is seen to be like there were literally hundreds of thousands of people being bussed into Ireland. And people all over the country began to, you know, who would suddenly wake up one morning and find like 150 or 200 strangers in their midst, you know, doubling their population overnight. And they were expected to just suck it up and get on with it. Nobody had ever consulted them. Nobody had ever told them. And people in the end started to say, hang on a minute. And protests were organized and people began to talk about it and went online and so on. And so this is probably the central element in Ireland, in the Irish context. But there's also the whole question of the bully boy tactics of the LGBT goons who have terrorized Ireland for the last 7 or 8 years, since I would say about 2014, nearly a decade, actually. just before we had a referendum on marriage, and in which the definitions of marriage were overturned in 2014. Not simply extending a concept of gay marriage, but effectively demolishing the existing concept of marriage and all of the protections that were attendant on that in constitutional terms and so on. So all of these developments, I mean, Ireland has become a very strange place. I'll just speak about Ireland in this context. Ireland has become a very strange place, a very tyrannical place. It's impossible now, it's very hard to believe, for certain kinds of people, such as myself, to actually appear in public and speak to an arranged meeting. I have had to, so in the past couple of years, I've had to numerous times meet the audience for my speech at a roundabout, some miles from a venue that had never been announced, and then proceed in convoy to that venue for the event to take place. That is the kind of stuff that you would have expected around about 1933 or 1934 in Nazi Germany, or in 1937 and 38 in Stalin's Russia. But it is Ireland under Leo Varadkar, the trendy gay blade, and his imitator, Micheál Martin, with whom he dances in and outwards like in this rotating Taoiseach ship, which is really a completely contemptuous diminishing of the office which they have jointly held over the past couple of years. And so that's kind of just a sketch, but there are many more things. You know, many more things that if you have a meeting in the public, it's attended by Antifa, and they try to start a row. They start to make noise and start to create violence, and the people who organize the meeting are blamed. The corruption of the press is beyond measure. It is beyond explanation. It is beyond understanding, except, of course, that money talks. They are being purchased because they were on the point of obsolescence anyway, economically. Their model had completely failed because they were no good at doing their jobs, and now they are worse. So this is a broad sketch. I mean, I actually have a sense, James, that, and I've written about this quite a bit, that about 10 years ago, 2011, when after the economic crash had begun to die down and some of the consequences were becoming obvious, that Ireland was subject to a kind of a soft coup, a silent coup, with the help of the American deep state, and that has been in train ever since. And that, you know, because everything that happens now is accompanied by some form of psyop. You know, things, very bizarre things happen. Anything to do with migration, for example. We had an episode in Ireland, in the west of Ireland, where I live quite a bit, in Sligo, where two gay men were castrated and beheaded by a Muslim. And the immediate response was to flood the streets with LGBT protesters protesting against Irish homophobia. This man was an immigrant. He had nothing to do with Ireland. But this is, you see, they are at the one time promoting the trans and the LGBT agenda. The same people are promoting the migration issue when there is a radical contradiction between those. They not alone ignore it, they try to bury it. This is the kind, I mean,
now we're going to have to take
one is there an inarticulate in the face of what's happened to our country.
Now, John, we're going to have to take a break for the news headlines in a minute. Before we go to that break, if you could keep your answer just to a minute or two. I think what shocks me, John, is that, you know, of all the countries in Europe, it's not that long ago that Ireland was devoutly religious, and, you know, very, very strict Catholicism. And, you know, it was widespread. Most people followed. When we look at some of the issues now to do with trans issues and this whole attack on biological sex, everything, it, in many ways, a lot of the issues are an attack on a lot of the beliefs and ways of doing things that we've held for many years that are integrally tied to religion. How do we square that circle? What's happened over the last sort of 10 years that we now end up in this place?
Well, you see, it's not really 10 years, it's 50 years. And, you know, I mean, that, you see, that there's a relationship between what you say there and the idea that Ireland was viewed as a very strict Catholic country until, you know, say a decade. That isn't true. Ireland has been very, very much
out from under any yoke of Catholicism for about half a century. But of course, this is part of the whole agenda, was to play up the idea and create all of these psyops. I mean, we've had the Toom baby psyop, for example, which was a complete lie. That, you know, 800 babies were killed by nuns and buried in a septic tank. I mean, that went round the world. That was a complete lie. They haven't found one skeleton of a single baby. But nobody reports this because the entire media is corrupt. You see, but what's happened is something else, something that it's nothing to do with Catholicism. Catholicism, yes, Catholicism is being used in Ireland, just as, say, the Holocaust is used in Germany, or, you know, colonialism is used in Britain or in France, or slavery is used in the United States as the pivot point by which to leverage the tyranny which they want to leverage. But it is fundamentally about the tyranny. It is not about the Catholicism or the slavery or the Holocaust or any of those things. And that's what people need to begin to understand, that they simply tailor this mechanism to suit the territory that they're attacking.
I'm really pleased you're on the show, John, because you certainly dispelled one of the myths for me. I've been to Ireland a couple of times. I've got a couple of friends there, but I don't have really strong ties. I'd kind of was under the belief that, you know, until the whole sort of priest issue with obviously paedophile priests and whatever, that was the event which totally transformed Ireland. But it sounds like I'm wrong on that. And so thank you for enlightening me. Right, we're going to take a quick break now for the news headlines, but don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
Now, TNT Radio News.
It's hot tea. It's very hot.
It's hot news.
So hot.
Yeah, it's hot news.
Hot news.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Brazil's president has lashed out at Washington for its continued persecution of Australian-born WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. A 48-year-old woman has survived almost a week lost in the Australian wilderness by sucking on lollipops and sipping on a bottle of wine. And a former Google engineer dubbed the godfather of AI has warned the rise of artificial intelligence could pose a more urgent threat to humanity than climate change.
The Freeman Report and James Freeman on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, now, John, so we've got this bill now. It's been voted through. You know, we are really worried about it. Explain what's in the bill and how this could impact free speech.
Well, I bet the bill is essentially it is designed ostensibly to protect minorities, right? So there are certain protected characteristics, being gay, being black, being female, and to some extent, being trans, obviously, being disabled, which, you know, will acquire an exalted penalty if you are involved in any form of, you know. Really, it says hate, but in fact, what they mean is criticism, ridicule, satire, anything like that. Essentially, because the bill is so loosely framed and the language is so loose and ill-defined, that of course, it will have a chilling effect on everybody who might be disposed to discuss certain subjects, but it will also have a profound effect on the judiciary and on juries where they arise, because they will have to interpret it in whatever way they may please. And of course, they will entirely interpret it in most cases on their own prejudices. And because that's the way it goes. And particularly, a lot of this will happen at the lower courts where the judicial standard is appalling. More appalling than it is at the higher levels. So, you know, that's the first thing. The second thing about it is that it is really this whole idea of incitement. I mean, if you incite somebody, I mean, clearly already, if you incite somebody and they as a result they do something egregious, then you have some culpability, and that can be established in court, and you're liable for penalty as well. That's the position at the moment. But in the future, that will widen in all kinds of ways. For example, if somebody suspects that you might be about to incite somebody. In other words, if, for example, we'll say you are a commentator who has a YouTube channel or a Substack page, and you are in the habit of writing articles critical of mass migration and the government's policy. Well, that could be sufficient for the police to be, for a complaint to be made to the police, and the police go to the courts, the district court, to get a warrant to search your home. They can come and they can seize all your electronic devices, your laptops, your computers, your phones, and so on. And they can take them away for an unspecified period. In other words, for an unlimited period. And they can then mount a prosecution on the basis that that anything on your computer, it is to be assumed that you intended to publish it to others unless you can prove to the contrary. Now, just think about that for a moment. How do you prove that you did not have an intention to publish something to somebody? This is in the equivalent inversion of the presumption of innocence, for one thing. You know, at every level, this is really the most egregious and shocking instrument that has ever been seen. And really what it is an instrument which, if you think about it in terms of the kind of minorities, essentially it's a charter for victims to oppress in reverse. In other words, that people who claim victimhood on the basis of some historical wrong, which may not have impinged on them personally at all, it may be on their ancient ancestors, they are entitled to point a finger at somebody who is not covered under the auspices of this legislation and accuse them. Or indeed, to point at somebody who is covered under another category and point at them. I mean, you're not, you know, a gay person will be able to accuse a straight person, whereas a straight person cannot accuse a gay person. But a black person can accuse a gay person as equally as a straight person. So it is a way of setting people against each other, first of all, but more fundamentally, I think it is a way of attacking the normative host population of a country, because that's very much what happened in Ireland. We, over the last 20 years, but especially over the last 5 to 10, we have imported an oppressed quote-unquote class. We didn't have one, so we imported one. We really needed one, right? We really needed to have an oppressed class here in Ireland, so we imported it. And now it is there and it can accuse anybody. So that will have a chilling effect on our speech and on the fundamental function or the fundamental capacity of democracy, because without free speech, there is no democracy. But this is the whole point, you see. And that goes to the point I was making about the various mechanisms used in different territories. Always, this is really, as I said earlier, it is an attempt, a very decided and very determined move to put an end to democracy as we understand it. The chief executive of BlackRock, the biggest asset management asset management company, Mr. Larry Fink, has said the following. He said that democracy is very messy, you know, and it isn't really suitable for the kind of capitalism that we're going to have, as he put it, going forward. So totalitarianism is better. It's neater, cleaner. And especially now in the technocratic technological age, when we can have surveillance, we can have social credit control, we can have control of money and so on into the central bank digital currencies, which are coming, I gather, within a couple of months in the United States, they're about to be rolled out. So this is the nature of the world. And you see, the shocking thing about this, James, is that nobody knows anything about it. This should be common knowledge now. It's readily available there in all kinds of academic papers by maverick academics, writers, intellectuals, and so online. But it is not penetrating the mainstream. You asked me earlier, what is the discussion like in Ireland about this? Zero discussion, other than off mainstream.
And yeah, I think I know what the answer is going to be for this, because this is, you know, you obviously. Obviously, you know, you've been looking at this for a long time. You understand the issues, because, like I said, at the surface of it, for those people that just listen to the news headlines, they never really read anything. They, you know, they watch Netflix. You know, the stereotypical person is, you know, they're a good consumer. They don't really understand the issues. So, on the surface of it, for them, this sounds like a good idea. Why would you want hate speech? Yeah, we should ban hate speech. What are the reasons? Why is this not being in the public domain?
Well, it's kind of precisely because, well, that's a factor, but it's a secondary factor. Insofar as people know, have heard about it, that would be their response by and large. But the primary factor is that the media distorts and perverts all discussion now. So, you know, they couch everything in terms of, you know, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorists, far right, white supremacists, all the same stuff that applies in Mississippi in the United States, it applies to County Roscommon in Ireland, you know. Now, if you understand where, what county, that's where I come from initially, and the those two places could not be more remote from each other in cultural terms or otherwise. And yet that's the way we are. This is with straight faces. Journalists paint this kind of picture of Ireland now. And there are certain kind of people who, as you say, they watch TV, they don't know what's going on, and they kind of half believe it, but they don't really care. You see, it's kind of like the thing where people say about, say, surveillance. You get this sort of, I would say, gobshite response, where if you say about surveillance, they say, well, I have nothing to hide anyway, you know. I don't mind. They have no concept of any kind of notion of privacy and the significance of it in all kinds of ways and how it interconnects with the, all their other rights, the right to actually speak, the right to actually think. Because this ultimately is an attack on thought, because it will arrest the thought at the root of the tongue before it can even get in there to find a way of articulating itself. You see, so, you know, I think the thing you, what you described there is probably most accurate. Most people have no concept. But I say to them, you know, okay, so you don't, you think that the far right, you know, all these people should be all arrested and rounded up and put into jail and or into internment or whatever. Fine, fine, fine. Okay. But when that's all happened, what do you think is going to happen next? They're going to come for you. They're going to come for the left wingers. They're going to come for the middle of the roaders who don't play ball, who suddenly get a pain with what's all this tyranny. And they say, well, no, this is a free country. And they say, no, no, it's not. You agreed that it wasn't. You agreed to all this stuff. So don't start making a nuisance of yourself now. That's what's coming, you see? Not that that's the point of it. I don't care about these people, to be honest, at this stage, because they don't care about the principle. These people, they're extraordinary. The degree to which the political establishment of our country, who are a vicious, nasty bunch of runts, have got away with murder, literally, in the last 3 years. And so many people just don't even know what's happened and don't want to know.
John, you've very articulately described, I think, the problem that we've got in all Western countries at the moment. Now, we're going to take a quick break, but after, when we come back, I'd like to talk about the satire element of this, because, of course, you know, we have comedy, and quite often comedy does push these boundaries. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on how this could affect comedy in Ireland. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
The world's first
on how this could affect comedy in Ireland. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
The world's first climate king, King Charles III, has a long history of questionable climate tipping points. You want to hear this.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Back in 2008, King Charles, then Prince Charles, issued a 100-month tipping point and counted it all the way down.
Be in no doubt that unless greenhouse gas emissions reach their peak within about 100 months, just 100 months, it may well be too late to stop temperatures rising beyond dangerous levels.
The grim reality is that our planet has reached a point of crisis, and we have only 7 years before we lose the levers of control.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now have only 86 months left before we reach the tipping point.
We are running out of time. How many times have I found myself saying this over recent years?
And after all that, when the 100th month expired, King Charles issued a 35-year tipping point on top of that in 2015. The deadline came, he extended it. That is how climate tipping points work. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
Join me and help fight for them by supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.org.
This is the Freeman Report with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Right. Now, John, we've got about 12 minutes left, and there's two things that I definitely want to explore with you, both really important. First of all, satire, and, you know, if that's going to be affected by the bill or if there's an exclusion for that. And then secondly, what about TNT Radio? You know, we broadcast globally, so we're available in Ireland. How does that affect us?
Yes, well, under both headings, there are provisions. You know, there's a supposed late addition to the bill, which has to do with artistic expression and so on. But of course, this will only be available to those who have the correct views in the first place. So it will be available to left-wing comics and so on who will ignore anything that they're not supposed to talk about. And that's already happening. You know, we've had that very clearly. I've written about it many times in the past 3 years, where basically there's been a total close down of commentary, not just from comedians, but also from poets and novelists and playwrights and so on. There's no songwriters even, apart from a few like Van Morrison and Larry Clapton and people like that, who have actually very courageously stepped out and made a stand against the tyranny. But by and large, not. In fact, you know, the entire artistic community is really, I think, in the exit lounge now because it is no longer fit for purpose. So in a certain sense, it will make no difference in that sense. But of course, this is the culmination of a process of what I call mutism or lockjaw, which has been applied to Irish society now for the best part of a decade. It started with the LGBT goons who basically went onto the streets terrorizing people and warning them not to open their mouths and say anything or even question anything that without permission from them. And essentially that set the tone for the past decade. And this is now a further escalation. And it was always intended to be such. I mean, this was all part of the plan, because it was never about gay in the first place. It was about creating the conditions for this kind of tyranny. As regards the second part about TNT, yes, I'd have to warn you. See, there is a kind of a corporate section of corporate bodies where they can be held responsible for anything that is said on them. Now, I don't know how this would work, because international law up to now in these contexts has not been very effective in except in very rare occasions in affecting, you know, cross jurisdictional censorships. But given that this is another lockstep, and it's clear now this is rolling out across the EU, it will roll out in America and in Australia and New Zealand and those places, Canada, no doubt, and all the entire Anglophone and European sectors. I think that there will be provision made for cross-jurisdictional prosecutions. I've no doubt about it. We're talking here about, you know, a global totalitarian network. This isn't Ireland. You know, I keep saying the one piece of, I can say, in praise or in mitigation of the Irish authorities is that they're too stupid to come up with anything like this on their own. And that's about the best I can say about them, James.
Yeah. So within these provisions, what kind of sanctions are we talking about? Obviously, for an individual found guilty, there's prison sentences available under this bill. But, you know, let's say, for example, you know, where I do a show on LGBTQ, whatever, and somebody in Ireland deems it offensive. Presumably, I can't be prosecuted individually, but will they be able to say, for example, I don't know, ban TNT Radio from Ireland, just as the UK has with RT?
Well, that remains to be seen how that will work, because, you know, as I say, interior and paper, it doesn't seem to have any teeth. But as I say, I think they will make provision for teeth. You know, the bill provides for the various fines and prison sentences, actually. You know, you can get a 12-month sentence on summary conviction in a district court in Ireland for a conviction for this under this law. If it goes to the higher court, which is a circuit court with a jury, and you're convicted there, you could get up to a 5-year sentence. So this is for an individual, you know, having been found of guilty of inciting hatred or whatever, you know. Even having the intent to incite hatred, which is a very interesting crime altogether, because it is a monster to mind reading by the state. But this is not new. I mean, we had a case, as you know, in there last year, I think it was, where a woman was arrested and charged for standing outside abortion clinic, and she was accused of praying silently under her breath. So this is the world we now have, James. I mean, you see, the trouble is, James, this is the really interesting thing about it. I don't mean to make it interesting because it's just nauseating. But the interesting thing about it is that even you and I, while we're talking about it, our feet are still in the old world. Our feet are still in the world we grew up in, which was a democratic, free place. A beautiful place now in retrospect. We've become nostalgic. But that place no longer exists unless we grab these people and put them in jail and reverse the clock and expunge all traces of them from history.
John, how far are you prepared to push this? I mean, if they, you know, once this law comes in, if it's clear that you get warnings and things, what are you going to do on a personal level? Are you going to stop talking?
No. I was born in a free country, James, and I intend to die in one.
Yeah, Ireland, me too. And to be honest with you, if enough of us do that, they can't put us all in. Well, they can try. I know they're building some big jails here in the UK, but literally, there's too many of us if we all stand our ground. So, John, go on.
James, I say I'm very glad they're building all those jails because we'll need them for them.
Amen to that. John, what are you doing to spread the word across Ireland at the moment?
Well, I'm just a writer, you know. I write the stuff, I put it out there, you know. It kind of informs or I hope inspires other people, and they get out and do the same thing. And I think we have mounted quite a significant resistance to this. There has been some reaction from abroad. So at this moment in time, I would say Ireland is a pariah nation, which is what it deserves to be. But I suppose since as it rolls out increasingly right around the EU and other countries, that will die down, the thing will spread. But hopefully we will be able to, you know, you see, the nature of this tyranny is that it shifts its focus from one thing to another day after day on day, you know. So one day it's COVID, one day it's Ukraine, one day it's, you know, free speech, one day it's woke, one day it's, you know. And the problem is that people at the moment, even the people who are most aware, are focusing on one or other element of that and disregarding the others. We need to get very quickly to the understanding that all of this is intimately connected, and it has a singular purpose, and it is the same movement.
The other thing, as I'm talking to you, I've got lots of questions coming to my head, but one of them is, what about retrospectiveness? So, like, if I've got, say, for example, some interviews that I did, I live in Ireland, I did some interviews a few years ago, they're very contentious, pushing the boundaries of this new law. And I don't know, republish them, or maybe I just put a comment on a publication that I put, say, a few years ago. What's the implications there?
Well, again, that's all untested territory as yet. But my hunch would be that in those circumstances where one has archives, for example, I have an archive on my Substack platform, and that I might get a visitation from the police who would urge me, to alert me to the presence of hate speech, as they thought, in some article of mine. And they would advise me then to remove it. And I would be given that opportunity. And if I didn't take that opportunity up, then that would be regarded as something like a current event or a current offence with which I would be charged. Something like that, I suspect, because, of course, you know, all of our pasts, and indeed all of the pasts of the Irish government and all the pasts of every Irish citizen and every British citizen, every American citizen, every European citizen, is littered with occasions of hate, if you go looking for them. There is no person who is beyond the age of 6 or 7 years of age who has not committed extreme crimes of hate under the definitions now obtaining in Ireland.
Now, your Taoiseach, as currently I think his approval rating is around 37%, I think. When's your next elections, general elections in Ireland? And do you hold any hope at all that you can change anything via elections?
Well, for what it matters, the next election would be
scheduled for 2025, but it may happen before that because parties in power like to actually choose their moment rather than have it chosen for them. And I think that's predictory. So I'd expect an election sometime next year. No, I don't expect, look, in the COVID lockdown things, the entire parliament, apart from one or two people who made short speeches, independents, went behind this. There was no debate about it. There was no question about it. The whole thing was closed down. The democratic process was closed down completely. So it doesn't matter, you know. I ran for election myself. The only time I've ever done it in my life, the only time I will ever do it in my life, in 2020. And I don't know why I was impelled to that, James. I just felt that there was some strange moment approaching. I don't know how I knew that. Some part of my body knew it. And so I did do that. And it was a really dismal experience. I mean, I got about, I don't know, 1,000 votes or something like that, you know, which isn't, it's a sizable room full of people. But, you know, given all the circumstances, I was quite happy. But with that as a result. But, you know, we are in a situation where we don't have a democracy, where everything, the whole attitude of the authorities to the democracy is that it's a complete nuisance and completely out of date. And really, do we have to consult the people about everything? For God's sake, let's just lock them up and get on with it.
John, you've been a fantastic guest. Thank you so much for talking around the issues with me. And please, 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 I know you're going to anyway, but please keep on doing what you're doing. We at TNT Radio certainly will be speaking the truth. We're not going to stop. And I'm prepared to go to jail if need be to protect our freedom. So thank you very much, John Waters. I hope you have a great day. And like I said earlier, if you're on social media, I'll be announcing this afternoon who the previous head of state is that I've got on the show on Friday. So don't go anywhere. Stick with us on TNT Radio.